This is the first Sunday in January, and so I don't know whether you guys do it, but all these New Year's resolutions, I hear about people making New Year's resolutions and all that goes with it. We have this artificial moment, which is a separation of the years, and I think that, you know, I look at my own life, and there's a few things, okay, I'm going to make some changes in 2019 and all that, and goes with that, and one of the witches has to do with this tie. Yeah, it might be the year of the bear. I'm not sure, but I'm going to wear the tie as long as they're in it. So we'll see whether... I don't like to wear ties anymore, but I will. It's been 33 years, I think, since they really were any good. So even though in 2006 there was a moment there that it looked like they were okay. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, have to do with resolutions and stuff. So I thought I'd just address, well, it's 2019. What do I do first? What do I do in terms of this? So let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today about our lives and what's important, what's not important, and what has how we're supposed to put order into that and all that that means in terms of each of us here. And I ask that you take the words that I speak, empower them by your Spirit to be a word for each of us in terms of our individual lives, maybe for us as a church as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with a great truth this morning, and that most of us don't think much about it, but it's there anyway. You are not the sum of the decisions that you make in a crisis situation. You are the sum of dozens of little decisions that you make every day of your life on minor issues of life. But nonetheless, they might be points of dilemma. I call them squeak points, little points of irritation, decision that we make all the time. And friends, what you decide in these thousands of little situations becomes the determining factor in the entire building process of your life. You know, it's difficult. It isn't difficult to get people to cry out to God when they lose their job or they develop cancer or when a marriage is going sour or when some tragedy strikes or a loved one gets deathly ill. That's easy. But it is turning to God first in just the daily details of life when things are going halfway decent and that will build a person of strong fabric. When it comes to the little decisions in life, it all comes down to, and many of you have heard this, it's a matter of priorities. What do I do first? What do I do first in 2019? How we answer that question determines whether we grow strong in our relationship with God or we become a fragmented saint, and the Church of Jesus Christ is loaded with fragmented saints, and a good number of us here today probably are fragmented in a lot of ways. A fragmented saint is pulled in many directions and lives in a confused state of life. Jesus is their Savior and they're going to heaven, but in this life, things are very disordered, and the fundamental problem is that some of us haven't figured out yet how to get our priorities in life in order and do the things that the Lord calls us to do first. This is a new year. It might be a time maybe when we make some new beginnings. What do I do first? If life is a matter of priorities, then what do I do first? 2019 is like any other year. Well, Jesus answered the question in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. I'd like for us to read the whole thing together, and then I want to point out a couple of things, and then we're going to walk through it, because this is Jesus' answer to what do I do first in the midst of all the stuff that goes on in life. So here we go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Now, as we read this in this thing, if you got a pencil or something, if you look at this scripture in the very first sentence, no one can serve two. I want you to circle the word two. And then in verse 33, it says, but seek first. Those two words. Two, that's very important when he says that. And in verse 33, seek first. That's the word is also very important. Now, what Jesus is talking about here, he's saying that there are two worlds, but you seek first the kingdom of God. And these two worlds are like the North and South Poles. And between them, in this passage, Jesus sets forth all of the things that concern every aspect of our lives. Jesus has four teachings here in these verses, so pay attention. And he prefaces each teaching with these words. Don't be anxious. The verb anxious is used six times in this passage. And Jesus is saying that there are things that crowd us in from every side of our lives. And Jesus points out four areas that cause us great distress at times. So, let's begin. Let's read verse 25 together. And I have them separated out in your bulletin as we break this thing down. So let's read verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, he says, don't be anxious or don't worry. Jesus is not saying that we should walk mindlessly in this world, not worrying about any of the stuff of life, kind of like a religious zombie without a care. It doesn't mean that. The idea here is that we shouldn't get on mental treadmills by doing what I call the hand wringing of the mind. Anybody worried about stuff? Jesus is saying, don't get filled with care and preoccupied with trying to figure out things or work things out. Jesus is saying that our human solutions, your solutions, my solutions, no matter how well-intended, are not going to get the job done. So don't be filled with worry or anxiety. Now, this phrase, don't be anxious, really loses a great deal in its translation. It has other meanings as well in the Greek. The idea here in this verb, anxious, also contains the ideas of brooding over something, or being grieved by something, overly speculating about something. But even behind these ideas is another idea that holds great power. The original root word of this verb comes from the word which means to separate or to draw in different directions. So Jesus is saying, don't be drawn in different directions. Now, there's a good picture that I want to give you of this word anxious. The root word here was used to describe what happens when a person was tied between horses and then drawn and quartered, torn apart by horses. So envision a person tied between horses being ripped apart, dismembered, and you have the idea and the deeper meaning of this word that Jesus is using here. Jesus says, don't let yourself be torn apart as you are pulled in two different directions. And then he gives the answer by saying, whatever comes up in your life, you turn to God first. Now, our problem as believers in Jesus Christ is not accepting him as Savior so much as I will turn to him and live in the resources available from God, which I say I believe, or will I turn in the other direction towards the world and live in the resources of the world, thinking and the ways of the world? And Jesus says, if you're really attached to God, then you can't survive that. It'll pull you apart. And it will literally tear you apart sooner or later. And then Jesus walks through four places where we make little decisions of direction every day which can tear us apart. And I want to go through them with you. The first is in verse 25, so let's read it again. Here we go. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Don't be anxious about your life. This is not the word for biological life either. He's not talking about whether you are going to have enough heartbeats till morning. The root word here is for life is psuche, or what we translate as soul. This word has to do with things that really concern you. Jesus says, don't get so wrapped up in yourself, your emotions, your thoughts, your personality, your personal concerns that it just kind of tears you apart. And at this point, Jesus is not even talking about the things outside of you. He's talking about your internal makeup, the things of fears and doubts that drive us nuts. He says, don't worry about those things. Don't let them tear you apart. And Jesus is saying, if you stew over all those things and you're stewing in your own juices, you'll just worry yourself to death. So he says, don't worry about those things of your life. Now, the second thing he deals with is in verse 27. So let's read it together. And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? Now, I wrote the word stature and status beside that because this has a double meaning to it. The word stature is in parenthesis beside life. The word used here really has a double meaning, and I want to look at both meanings. Jesus says, which of you, by worrying, can add 1 inch to your stature? Or which of you, by worrying, can add 1 moment to your span of life? I want to look at the word stature or status first. There is probably no greater problem in society today than our concern over stature or status, our position, our place in society. And the question is, how tall do I appear to other people? That's really the question that's here. Jesus says, hey, if you're worried about how you look, how you measure up, how cool you are, or what thread you wear, or what wheels you drive, or your house, or your style, you'll be torn apart worrying about those things. Jesus says, if you let yourself worry too much over these things, you're in deep trouble because they will literally tear you apart. Now, he doesn't say that these things aren't important, but they just aren't eternally significant. He is saying they are a concern, but don't let yourself put so much importance on them that it tears you apart. Please understand, Jesus is not saying that these things are not worthy of thinking about, but just don't put them first in your life. Put your relationship with the Lord first. Now, there's a double meaning here as well. The first is our status or stature in society, but it also has to do with length of life. There are people running themselves into the ground with programs on nutrition, diet, exercise programs. And that happens a lot at New Year's resolutions. And some of us just sit around and worry about it. We don't do anything. In either case, whether it is a worry that just stews or a worry that is filled with action and programs, Jesus is saying this about the concern that you have. He says, bring it to me first. Life is a matter of grace. Don't try to figure it all out, because then you're out of balance. And Jesus says, your life does not come from these programs. It comes from God. Your life is a matter of grace. Where you were born, how long you live, and all the things that concern it are a matter of grace. So seek the kingdom of God first. That's the second area. The third area is in verses 31 and 32, but I only have 31 printed here, but you can go back up and read 32 if you want to. Let's read 31 together. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, these things are necessities of life. The preoccupation here, though, is in just not having enough. Let me tell how this affects me. For 15 years, I had four kids in college. 15 years in a row. For five of those years, I had two kids in college at the same time. And during that time, sometimes I felt like I was bailing water on a ship full of holes, financially speaking. I don't know how many times I have fallen into that area of anxiety playing the game, what if? What if? What if I don't have enough to get through next month to the end? What am I going to do? And it scares you. And I remember during that period of time, I got my biggest raise when all the kids got out of college in life. But you may sit there and you think, what if I lose my job? What if I get sick and I can't work anymore? What if the economy goes to the dogs and my business goes into the toilet? What if? What if the stock market crashes? What if the car breaks down? What if the refrigerator quits? What if air conditioner or the furnace blows up? And we can think about that in 2019. This game of what if. It's a great game, isn't it? I learned something about myself and you over the years, and it has to do with this third thing that Jesus brings up here. This preoccupation with things. What am I going to do next month? Or next year? And the fundamental problem is that we can never do enough to get ready for tomorrow. We never can. People think that if they just had a few more things or a few more dollars, if I could just get $10, I could get my head above water. Somebody else says, if I could just get $100. For somebody else, it's not $100, it's $1,000. And for somebody else, it's $10,000. And for somebody else, it's $100,000. And for somebody else, it might be a million. And the thing about it is, all we're doing is adding zeros. We're just adding zeros. But the issue is always the same. We can never get enough. Because if you get enough, the guy that thought 10 would take care of it would not be in the same state of the guy that had 100,000 need. You see, it's just a matter of zeros, and you can tear yourself apart worrying over it, just at the as much in terms of worth or zeros. That's all it is. And Jesus says that isn't where your source of life is. So don't worry yourself sick over things. The fourth point is in verse 34, and let's read it together. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. This is, don't worry about tomorrow. Essentially, Jesus is saying, don't try to live in the future before it happens. Would you believe that tomorrow will take care of itself? And so Jesus says, don't get torn apart by all these things that we face in our lives. Now, I want to go back and don't live in the future. Now, I want to go back through these four points again, but this time I want to look at the different forms of verbs which are add strength to each point, because you can't always think about this stuff, but it's there. Jesus sets the stage. He says, first he says, you can't serve two masters. That means it's impossible to do this without being torn apart. And then he ends the passage saying that the master you need to serve is God and the Father, and seek his kingdom first in your life. Then he says these four things that we've walked through, and a different verb form is used actually in each of them, and we lose that sometimes in the translation. The first time he says, don't be anxious, he uses it in the imperative. Got any English teachers here? It's a command. So we have a commandment of Jesus in verse 25. And if you remember, this is the one about stewing in your own juices, your fears, your doubts, and thoughts. And so Jesus issues a command. He says, don't. Don't you get torn apart by your own thinking about life. The second one is in verse 27, and it's a participle form of the word anxious. It's like being anxious, which takes a noun and a verb and it puts it together. That's your English lesson for the day. It means a certain way of doing things. When you use this form of the verb, that it means that it becomes part of who you are, your identity. Jesus is saying here, he said, don't get to the point where you are constantly being an anxious person. That's all you do, is worry. Don't get to the point where you are being a person who is torn apart about your status or your mortality. And he uses this form in conjunction with our fluctuating status in life and our age in life and our health in life, and it becomes our identity. What somebody thinks of us drives us. In the third one, in verses 31 and 32, when it's talking about worrying about things, it's the subjunctive form of the verb, which means that everything is conditional. And we go through this stuff in our lives all the time. It may be the condition or it may not be the condition. And of course, that's the way it is, isn't it, in life? You know, there might be food tomorrow and there might not. There might be a famine in 6 months and there might not. And there might be war next year and there might not. There might be an oil shortage next year and there might not. I might be out of work in 6 weeks from now and I might not. There might be enough money to pay the bills in this church, and there might not. And Jesus is saying, of course, it's always conditional. But don't get torn apart worrying about those uncertainties of life. Don't let it happen to you because it can tear you apart. Go to God the Father and let Him be your guide through the conditions of the things of this life. And the last form of the verb is in verse 34, and it's the future form. And Jesus says, if you're trying to live in tomorrow, before you get there, it will tear you apart. God says that tomorrow will take care of itself. And the Lord says, hey, I'm already there before you anyway, so just make sure you seek me first. Jesus is saying that life is a matter of priorities and not a matter of anxiety or worry all the time. So what do you do first in 2019? You have a decision to make. Maybe a dilemma, a problem, a fear, a worry, a doubt, a question about something, whether to do it or not. What do I do first in 2019? Seek the Lord and His way for your life, and then things will get taken care of. Let's read verse 33 together, and it's separated out too. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. I think there's a fundamental problem in us, and we will just look everywhere else first before we'll even spend time in God's presence. We just do that. We look for solutions and answers everywhere else first. People want direction for their life. They want some peace in their fears. They want to do the right thing in certain circumstances or situations, but they haven't even prayed about it. We do everything else first. And then after we're torn apart by circumstances or our own internal emotions, then we seek the Lord. Seek the Lord first in 2019. He is supposed to be first in our lives anyway, so seek Him first, and all the other things of our lives will fall into order if we do. Now, I want us to end by reading a couple of scriptures which speak to seeking the Lord first in our lives. The first one is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13, and it's printed, so let's read it together. Here we go. It's fairly familiar to a lot of us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, if you seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. Now let me ask you a serious question. When was the last time you set aside some time to just seek the Lord? Not answers, just seek the Lord. Just taking time to seek Him, period. That's it. It says right here in Jeremiah that if we will just seek the Lord, we will find Him. He says, you will find me, but first we must seek. Now you take that passage home with you and ponder and ask yourself about seeking the Lord first in 2019. The second scripture is Jeremiah 33:3, and let's read it together. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things which you have not known. Now, I want you to think about this. Do you believe it? God says to us that many of the things that bother us are just a setup for Him. He says, call on me, and I will show you great and hidden things about, well, about life, about how He's working, what's going on, things you wouldn't even think were possible. What we do is we try to work it out on our own terms, don't we? Oh, man, on our own steam. And the Lord says, call on me, and I will show you things you don't know when it comes to life. And its worries and its anxieties, I will help you. Life is a matter of priorities. What do you do first? It's what we do first that determines our lives And it happens in the everyday decisions of life and our actions. And as I began at the beginning of this message, you are not the sum of the decisions that you make in a crisis situation. You are the sum of thousands of little decisions and actions that you make every day of your life on minor issues of life, which are, nonetheless, points in which you live out your life. Life is a matter of priorities. What do I do first in all these things? In the name of Jesus, seek the kingdom and his righteousness and think through your responses to things and people and circumstances. And Jesus says, seek kingdom living first, and all these other things that we think are so important will fall into their proper place and be taken care of anyway in 2019. Let's pray. Lord, may we seek you first in all that we are and all that we do. And sure, we all have circumstances and situations and the life things that go on. But help us this year to seek you first so that all that stuff will just fall into place in its proper place and time. In Jesus' name, amen.